All right, welcome back. It is 3:48 here on Sports Radio 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM. Todd Furman is our guest live from Las Vegas, Don Best Sports, toddstake.com. You can get him on Twitter at Todd Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N. Phil Mickelson is on his first hole of action today, and there's going to be a lot of disappointment and heartbreak at this United States Open. Marion's punching these guys in the mouth, Todd, and a lot of big names are going to go out the door when this cut line is exposed at about plus four today.
Absolutely amazing, Steve. When you talk about people speculating in the middle of the week that the rain was going to make this course too easy, all sorts of records were going to be broken at the U.S. Open, and to go one step further, Bovada actually opened up a prop that the lowest scoring round would be a 63 or better at 25-1. That number was bet down to 6-1 before they pulled it off the board. From talking to some of their guys, they got a ton of money on that, and you actually saw most of the books end up opening the low score for any particular round at 64 at even money. Watching the first 2 days, though, it doesn't look like 63 may be that attainable unless somebody catches lightning in a bottle. Imagine as the course dries out over the next 36 holes, it's only going to get more difficult if there's no rain in the forecast.
Well, exactly, and I've played this course several times, and it's a brute. It's a little thing, but it's a brute. And if you miss fairways, and that's what everybody was miscalculating, is that the fairways are going to be soft. Well, they're 21 yards, 22 yards wide. You still got to hit it in that fairway, you know. And if you don't, you're in 5 inches of rough, so you're in trouble. And I think that the betting market on golf is a little confused sometimes, but I did notice they didn't even put an over and under score total up, did they?
No, I didn't see one posted anywhere. They just kind of used odds and some different round by round rather than trying to create a full 72-hole projected over under. And sometimes the books have to be a little guarded. Like you said, the golf market's not nearly as mature as it would be betting the NFL or something along those lines. So we'll see futures boards getting adjusted throughout the course of the weekend. Some familiar names at the top of the board. And like you said, players like Graham McDowell and company going to be missing the cut, headed back home to Europe to start getting ready for the British Open instead of competing for our national championship.
That's amazing, and just that little Marion, and the USGA is winning this one because this was against the big drivers and the golf ball, and they said, hey, we now are up the fairways, and bring in Marion's greens, and you're not going to beat it, and they're not right now. Football is obviously right around the corner. The Bucks just got finished with their final OTA. Lots of teams are doing that, but college football is around the corner too, Todd, and they were able to bet games of the year at the Golden Nugget, and you know, there was some teams that came out where the Sharpies were right on them, and then there was some big time fadeable teams as well. It seemed to me from reading your tweets and everybody else's that TCU was a big bet on team and as a favorite, and you saw that Arizona State was a big team as a dog to bet on this year. What is the differences in those two? What is it about those two teams that everybody likes?
Well, the first thing, you have to give the Golden Nugget a ton of credit. They've expanded their offerings. They did 109 Game of the Year games last year available for early wagering. This year, they upped the ante to 248. I spoke to their odds-making team behind it and said I wanted the full schedule, including all the Sun Belt, Conference USA, and everything else for next year if this wasn't an ambitious enough undertaking to try and keep them busy all summer. But the two teams you mentioned, Steve, definitely drew attention from the professionals. Arizona State against Wisconsin, that game opened up a pick. Arizona State bet all the way out to -3. The belief is that Todd Graham, another year in his system, we can say what we want about him as a person and the way he handles his business professionally. Can't argue with the results on the field. And Arizona State, one of those sleepers in a relatively deeper Pac-12 than we've seen in the last couple of years. TCU taking a lot of attention as well. The team is ultra-talented. We'll have one of the top secondaries in the country. They get Casey Paul-Hall back, who was lost early in the year amid some DUI speculation and some responsible drinking violations while at TCU. The biggest thing, though, facing the Horned Frogs is a daunting schedule. They may have as much talent in the Big 12 as anybody, but most of their losable games all come on the road. Two other teams worth noting, both in the Big Ten. Money came in against Northwestern on a number of their games. The Wildcats, especially as a favorite, a pretty unfamiliar role on the conference road under Pat Fitzgerald. So there was plenty of money being bet against them there. And money came in on Iowa. we know all too well about the Hawkeyes down year under Kirk Ferentz last season, but typically one of the better dogs in the conference. I think a lot of the professionals felt that the Hawkeyes are vastly undervalued, at least at the way the Golden Nugget approached them this early in the season.
Todd Ferbert, our guest, one of the ones that I noted, and I had a circle around these any one of their games, at least in the beginning, is Texas A&M. I got to believe that a lot of the wise guys faded anything that Texas A&M were favored in their five games that you would fade against them, because the line's going to be inflated. You got Johnny Football, everything surrounding Kenny Sumlin, the program itself going into the SEC, beating Alabama last year. It's about as fadeable as a team as you can think of in the beginning of the season, isn't it?
They're definitely a team that's going to bear watching, and we'll know exactly how good this edition of Texas A&M will be on September 14th when they play host to Alabama. Alabama, a six-point favorite in that game down in College Station. A little bit of a different dynamic this year, though, going into that game. Alabama will have a bye. They won't have LSU as the lead-in game, and Texas A&M may have their hands full with the revenge element for Nick Saban and company. That number opened at six. There was speculation that the professionals were going to bet A&M down a little bit, but there was no money that came in either way, apparently an airtight number there. And I have to agree. I think you look at Alabama and all the talent they bring back, especially with their starting quarterback in tow. A.J. McCarron will fly under the radar in the SEC West most of the season. This is a game on his schedule, and I'm sure he's had circled, even more so in the national championship, to go into Johnny Football's backyard and find a way to beat the Heisman Trophy winner at what he does best.
Yeah, the Gators, took it on the chin in the first half last year against them, and then came back and beat them in the second half. Other teams that I could gather that the wise guys were fading: Florida State, Oklahoma, Boise State. What's fadeable about those guys? Or are they just public teams anyway?
Florida State's one of those tricky teams. Clearly, we'll have to try and figure out how they adjust to life without E.J. Manuel under center. They weren't exactly a great favorite. The one nice thing, though, for Florida State this year is that they actually have to open up with a Division I opponent at Pittsburgh on Labor Day. They don't get the likes of Savannah State and Cupcake Central to kind of ease into their schedule this year. Boise State, talent-wise, it's just not there for Coach Peterson, but hard to argue with his coaching pedigree and what he's done. A great opening weekend game that'll go under the radar when they take on Washington, a revenge game from last year's Las Vegas Bowl. Rare to see two college teams go toe-to-toe to close one season and open another season. One team, though, that did get some attention from the professionals that we failed to mention, Michigan was actually bet on in almost every game in their game of the year numbers, including large moves of upwards of 2.5 to 3 points, or even modest moves against the likes of Notre Dame where they went from pick to -1. So the professionals, a lot of confidence in Brady Hoke and what that team will be capable of doing. However, there was not money bet on Michigan for their season finale against Ohio State, where the Buckeyes were a six-point favorite for a trip to the Big House. What many are speculating, the only obstacle in Urban Meyer's quest to get back to the national championship.
Interesting, very much so. It's going to be a good football season. I can feel it now already, but we'll have more as the year progresses. But as always, we appreciate your time, Todd, and we will talk to. Well, you want to? Is there anything that we should touch on real quickly about the Federation Cup that might be of interest to people?
Just tell people that are casual soccer fans, you're going to get great international soccer over the course of the next 2 weeks. Kind of the host country's dress rehearsal for the World Cup. Brazil, clearly the favorite playing on home soil at 3-2, but right behind them, Spain, and we know all about the Spaniards' international dominance over the last handful of years. They're at 2-1 in the futures market. My sleeper, though, actually comes out of Group B, Uruguay at 11-1. I think they're more or less a shoo-in to get to the semis if they get through Nigeria, and soccer powerhouse Tahiti. Available at 500,000 to 1 to win this tournament. I think people should definitely spend a little bit of time. The one game I'll have my eye on will be on Sunday. Personally played Mexico and Italy under 2.5, laid a little bit of juice. I think both those teams will play tight to the vest soccer and would not be shocked to see a 0-0 draw given Mexico's struggles, at least during the World Cup qualifying.
They couldn't score a goal. They couldn't score a goal at home in three straight qualifiers. So I think that's a pretty, and Italy doesn't knock any houses over with their goal scoring either. So I think that's a pretty good bet right there. But yeah, Tahiti, I didn't think there was enough people on the island to field a soccer team. Well, you got to give everybody a chance.
Bunch of fishmongers and resort workers that are fielding this team, judging by the fact that a three-goal underdog against Nigeria. Have to imagine they'll be about a 4.5 to 5-goal underdog at minimum when they take on Spain in group play. Should make for some interesting betting lines, to say the least.
If you can have a Jamaican bobsled team, you can have a Tahitian soccer team. Todd, thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the U.S. Open.
You too, very much so.